Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We are absolutely grateful for your grace. Grateful for the price that Jesus paid on the cross. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because the death and the resurrection of Jesus are irreversible facts of history. Too late for us to be held in bondage by the devil. So, Lord, today we praise you because of the victory that we have in Christ. In this service, we celebrate. In this service, we give you praise. So thank you, Heavenly Father. Because the power that raised Christ from death is at work in us right now, destroying the power of sin and removing from our lives all the consequences of sin. We thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a blessed day, and we're reading from Psalm 121. We have been challenging ourselves on the need for us to respond to the challenges of our times by putting our trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and in all your ways acknowledge him. Don't lean to your own understanding. He will direct your steps. So let's read from Psalm 121. We'll read verses 1 to 8. It's a prayer. Psalm 121 from verse 1. Psalm 121 from verse 1. Let's go. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From hence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We've been sharing on the need for us to put our trust in God, but today we share on the ultimate helper. The ultimate helper. Jeremiah the prophet prophesied in Jeremiah 17 from verse 5, blessed is the man who puts his trust in God. He will not see when heat comes. It says he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He will not see when heat comes. But woe to the man who does not put his trust in the Lord. So this issue of trust is a really big issue. I know a lot of the time we discuss on faith in church, and we get into the technicalities of faith. And sometimes the word really seems vague to us. But faith is simply trust. The willingness to take risks on God. The willingness to take risks in obedience to God. The willingness to take risks in depending on God to resolve the issues that are beyond us. Good. So the blessing is for the man that puts his trust in the Lord. God's blessings, the happiness, the joy, the prosperity that comes from God is for the man or the woman that puts his or her trust in God. In the days of the psalmist, people would go up to the mountains, people would go up to the hills. I mean, I know there are people in our days who like to go up to mountains to pray. It's always been there. Jesus also went to the mountains to pray when he was around. Mountains are symbols of strength, symbols of power. In times of height, they move you closer to the heavens. Of course, they can also be symbols of obstacles. Okay? So in the days of the psalmist, it was customary for people when they would position their idols to position them on the mountains. Because from there, they were supposed to provide a covering, to provide protection for all the people living down below in the towns. Mountains used to be sources of protection for cities against invading armies. So people will put their gods, their idols, their helpers, spiritual helpers, on the mountains. So the psalmist was asking question, actually. When we read Psalm 121, the psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And then he asked a question. From hence comes my help. Everybody is going to the mountains. Everyone is having some source of help or the other. I need help. Where will my help come from? And perhaps there's someone in such a scenario right now. It may be your business, maybe your marriage, it may be your finances, maybe your academics, and you're wondering, except I get some help, I'm finished. The psalmist answers his own question in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your food to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The call today is a call to put our trust in the ultimate helper. There are different sources of help. I admit that. To some degree or to some extent, human beings can help us. Our employers can help us. Our relations can help us, or our friends. Some powerful person in government can help us. Somebody who has political power. Some have economic power. Some have social power. They have connections. They have relationships. I acknowledge, to some extent, we can enjoy help. However, there are those who tend to overestimate their abilities as human beings. You will always have people like that. And there is a tendency for man to overestimate his abilities until he is confronted by circumstances that overwhelm his abilities. The unfortunate thing is that some have not cultivated any relationship with God. When they find themselves in such circumstances that overwhelm them, they don't have where to go. It's difficult to all of a sudden call on the God they never believed existed or was interested in their circumstances. They didn't build a relationship. And there's nothing that breaks the heart like seeing people frustrated, depressed, helpless, and in some circumstances even commit suicide. Simply because they came to the end of their rope. And they did not know what else to do about their situations and circumstances. Every single case of suicide that I read or hear about in the news breaks my heart, because I know that is one person who was hedged in. That's one person who had come to the end of his or her abilities. Okay? Very painful loss to our world and to the person's family. Well, what I have come to discover also is that man has the tendency to invent sources of help for himself. We invent alternatives to God. We invent alternatives to God. Some people like to have a God that they can see. This invisible God, they find it quite a stretch to trust their lives into the hand of a God that they cannot see. For some people, money becomes the God. Money becomes the source of help. Money becomes the source of support, the answer to every question, the solution to every problem. There's a reason why Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul the apostle wrote to Timothy, charge them, warn those that are rich in this world. He said that they should not put their trust in uncertain riches. They should not put their trust in money. Some people put their trust in money. It's amazing. And they're usually people who never had money before. There was a time when they didn't have money. Now that they do, they gradually shift their trust from God to the money. You know, James the apostle described a scenario in James chapter 1. He was encouraging rich people to not discriminate in church. Or he was encouraging church leaders to not discriminate between the rich and the poor in church. Because the tendency is for you to give a lot of honor to the person who is rich and to treat the poor person shabbily. And James the apostle was saying, you know what? The poor brother may not have a lot of money, but he is rich in faith. You know why? What the rich man will resolve with money, I mean, with just a swipe of the card or just a check, the poor man has to pray for God's help before it can be resolved. So it does seem like a disadvantage that he does not have money or these world's goods, but what he lacks in terms of finances or material resources, he gains in terms of intimacy with God. So the encouragement is, the encouragement is not that we should be poor or we should aspire to be poor. The encouragement is that as the money and the material wealth and the success comes, we should not shift our trust from God and put it on the money. Because Solomon said that money can develop wings, riches can develop wings and fly away at short notice. So some people make money their God. They put their trust in money. But you and I know money can't solve all the problems. And then, like I said, some people like a God that they can see, that they can touch. And that's why people would carve out stones, you know, carve out idols from gold, make idols from gold, at least let the item be very expensive, or from bronze or from silver, and then bow down to worship that item because people want God. If we remember clearly when Israel came out of Egypt, in Exodus 32, Moses went up to the mountain and he was hanging out with God for some 40 days. And the people went to Aaron and said, as for Moses, we don't know what has happened to him. Make a God for us that we can see. And Aaron said, bring all your gold. They brought the gold and they created this golden calf. And people were happy, at least that now they had a God they could worship. The amazing thing is there are different images that they could have been made, but it was the image of a cow. Amazing the way the human mind works, isn't it? Let's read Isaiah chapter 30 and see God's response when we seek alternative sources of help from him. Isaiah 30 verses 1 to 3. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Very interesting here. He says, these people are looking for alternatives to my spirit. And then he said one thing, they have not asked for my advice. One of the signs that our trust is not in God is how long it takes for us to pray about an issue when we're dealing with a situation. For some people, the moment they confront something that seems to be beyond them, the first option is the prayer. But for some others, it is after they have tried everything else that the prayer aspect comes in. Those that put their trust in God will ask for his advice first. He said, these guys want to go down to Egypt and I know they're thinking about Pharaoh, the strength of Pharaoh. They're not asking about me. They're not asking from me. They're not asking about my spirit. Said, well, unfortunately, the very thing that you want to put your trust in will disappoint you. Out of desperation, some people consult sorcerers. Out of desperation, some people consult false prophets. Out of desperation, you know, some people go all over the place, not realizing God is everywhere. Amazingly, the signs are there of desperation in our days. And I want to say this, it is not always a disadvantage for you to find yourself in a place of vulnerability. It is not always a disadvantage for you to find yourself in a place where you need money that you cannot afford, where you need healing. It is not always a bad thing for us to find ourselves in the place of vulnerability that compels us to seek for God. That's why God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear, but with it, he will make a way of escape. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul the Apostle found himself in the place of vulnerability. He said that he had this messenger of Satan that was sent to harass him. He said, concerning this thing, I prayed 3 times. I asked God to do something about it. And God spoke. My grace is sufficient for you, God said. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amazing. Did God take it away? No. He says, you know, you underestimate what I have packed into your life, and you are underestimating the powerful effect of your being in a vulnerable place so you can put your trust in me. That trust does something. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this wasn't just only about Paul anymore. It was about the many lives God had called him to touch, including yours and mine, because we're still quoting Paul after over 2,000 years. So, he was left in a place where he was vulnerable. Jacob experienced vulnerability. In Genesis 32, his brother Esau had vowed to kill him, and God told him to go back home. So, when he was about to cross this brook, he sent his family across, and he had heard that Esau was coming on the way. So he was left alone. And this person showed up in the night. And Jacob decided to wrestle with the person. And they wrestled for hours. Jacob, who had over time developed the ability to resolve every issue himself, solve every problem by himself, was going to resolve this problem. The only thing was, it was not a problem. It was the blessing. It was the solution. It was God himself. Jacob wrestled and wrestled. Then somewhere along the line, they said God hit his hip socket, you know, out of the joint. And Jacob began to limp. What was God trying to do? Put him in a place of vulnerability so that he could put his dependence on God, because God could not work until Jacob got to that point. Go to the place of vulnerability. It's not a crime to be led to embark on a project that is beyond what you can afford. It's not a crime for you to find out sometimes that you need help with your relationship problems. It's not a crime sometimes for you to be on a project, you know, and for you to confront challenges that you can handle. The big issue is, how are you going to respond to that? God is interested. But remember what God said to Paul the Apostle. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So weakness is not always bad. David understood this equation. Many people don't. If you don't understand it, you live a hypocritical Christian life. In the bid to impress people, in the bid to not appear weak to people, you'll be pretending. And in the process of pretending before human beings, you'll also pretend before God. And when you pretend before God, you're supposed to be in a place of vulnerability. You pretend you don't want to be, you pretend that you're strong. God can help you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So what makes the Psalms powerful? Because we can see ourselves in them. All our fears, all our anxieties, they're there, expressed by David, but not everybody expresses them. So David had learned to cash in on his weaknesses, cash in on his vulnerabilities. When they sent him to look after sheep, he had to deal with loneliness. Loneliness can be scary. He had to attend to sheep. You heard his story. He said sometimes the lion came. So obviously, he was at the risk of being attacked by wild beasts. Not to talk of armed robbers. Because you have people like that, you know, they call them rustlers. Cattle rustlers. Rustlers. Who would want to come steal some of the sheep? David was all alone. David was at risk. But it was in that place of vulnerability that David met with God. Amen. David cultivated a powerful relationship with this invisible person. And he found out that this was the most powerful, the most fulfilling, the most empowering relationship he could ever have on this planet. How do I know? When David made a mistake, Psalm 51, he was praying to God. I'll never forget Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11. Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Woo! What a prayer point. I know I offended you. I know I hurt you. I know I'm suffering the consequences for my mistakes. But there's one thing I pray you will never do to take the Holy Spirit away from me. Why? That was all he had. He had discovered the power of cultivating a very intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. So today, I present to us the ultimate helper, the Holy Spirit. The ultimate helper. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. John 14, 15 to 18. Jesus speaking to his disciples. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. And he will give you another helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You couldn't find more comforting scriptures, more comforting words anywhere else than these in the scriptures. You couldn't find more comforting words than these. I will send you another helper. I will send you another helper. I will send you another helper. Woo! In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare today that you have passed from weakness to power just because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I pray the Holy Spirit will make himself real to you. And help you to deepen your walk with him. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Jesus said, I will give you another helper. He was saying, he didn't say, I will give you the helper. He said, I will give you another helper. They understood. Because when Jesus was around, he was the ultimate helper. The ultimate helper. ultimate helper in helping to fulfill destiny, the ultimate teacher, ultimate trainer, the ultimate guide. Wherever he said to go was the best place to go. As long as he was around, nobody lacked anything. His disciples never lacked anything. Woo! The ultimate helper. And it is not recorded any of them fell sick when he was around. If they fell sick, he would heal them. If they died, they knew he would raise them from death. The people who hanged around Jesus were the smartest people in those days. So just imagine the sorrow when he said, I'm leaving. And when he saw they were sorrowful, he gave them the promise. I sent another helper. They say in the Greek text from which our English Bible was translated, there are two words used for another. There is allos, A-L-L-O-S. There's heteros, from which we have our English heterogeneous. When he said another helper, he used allos, because allos is another of the same kind. Heteros is another of a different kind. I will give you another helper, same kind. Whatever I have been to you, he will be to you. That, I said, were the most comforting words anybody ever had anywhere. And then he said, I will not leave you like orphans, like people who have no helper in their lives. I challenge everyone here today who has gone for alternative sources of help. Until Paul the Apostle got to Ephesus, people trusted in sorcerers and magicians. But when the original, the power of God, the truth of God showed up at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, you read verse 18, the Bible says they gathered all the witchcraft books, all the books that contained, you know, information that was not accurate, and burned them up. My challenge to anyone is if you have taken anything from anywhere, it may be a charm, it may be anything anywhere that is a source of help that distracts you from God, burn them. This is the time to do away with them. This is the time to put our trust in God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm prophesying here today, your weakness is turning to power. God will show up in the name of Jesus. Whatever that area of your life is that is threatening right now, whatever area of your life that is right now where you need help, it may be with respect to your health, it may be your finances, relationships, I prophesy the power of the Spirit of God invades that area of your life today in the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy the days of delay are over. I declare the destruction of the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So I declare the destruction of everything that is satanic around you in the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy restoration into your life. Everything God designed for you, everything Christ died for on the cross is restored into your life today in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.